Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello, welcome to episode number 17 of the Self-Help Podcast, your weekly dose of pseudoscience, casual chit-chat and modern wisdom.
What do you mean pseudoscience?
Well, some of this stuff is a bit, yeah.
Just what do you mean? Come on.
No brain food this week, though. I've dropped that. Before we get going today, I just want to mention a couple of reviews we've had on iTunes, on the UK store. First up by someone called Good Podcasts. They've given us a 5-star review on iTunes. But not only that, there's a website which we'll put in the show notes, where they've done a full-on feature of our podcast and reviewed it.
Yeah.
Which is mighty kind.
I didn't realise they existed, but isn't it a good service? You know, I mean, for everybody to listen to and to read, it's a good...
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. So we appreciate that. We'll put a link into the show notes and we'll mention them on Twitter and all that. But thank you, Good Podcasts. Keep up the good work. And also another 5-star review from... And I'm going to have trouble with this name. I've practised it, I promise. Cathar Cat Leg Horse. They really took the time to put a lengthy review in there, so...
We should have a competition for what's the weirdest name you've come across.
We've had a few. That's the longest one, I think. I call you Cathar. Thanks, Cathar.
Yeah.
And I also want to thank a chap called Ben, who actually I know and went to school with, and I found out that he's a keen listener of ours, and he sent us a nice email last week telling us how much he's enjoying it, which is good to see.
Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ben. Yeah, thanks for the feedback. Appreciate it. This week, our weekly topic is relationships and how to keep your relationship on track. So again, we'll try and crack that one half an hour. Easy peasy. But before we do that, let's talk about what we've been up to. Sean, what have you been doing?
I'm singing. In my youth, I was played in bands. I even had an album out, hey? I haven't sung for a long time, so I'm trying to get my voice back. But someone that I know, it's their birthday coming up soon, a lovely lady called Tula, who's a good singer. So I'm the backing vocals and guitar, so I'll be going ooey ooey in the background. So, and I haven't gigged for ages, so that's going to be fun.
You guys see Aftermath, wasn't it, the CD?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that a while back.
Yeah, you should get that, everybody. It'll change your life.
We should put a sample on SoundCloud or something so people can listen in there.
Yeah.
Some good stuff on it, though.
Yeah.
You're pretty good.
Some good feedback.
You're pretty good, Sean.
Yeah.
That was your calling.
Should have stayed there.
I've been to a wedding this weekend. Weddings are usually pretty good affairs, and this was...
I want to see the photographs of this wedding.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if you do. I mean, yeah, obviously, a weekend, we left the little nipple with his grandparents, and Bethan and I went down south, Stratford-upon-Avon, just outside.
Oh, that's lovely. Nice.
Really gorgeous venue.
Yep.
Load of pals there. Good vibes. It helps when you stay at the venue as well, you know, in the hotel there. So you can just do it all in one go and just go for it. Yeah, we had a real good dance. Danced like no one was watching. There was a point where all the boys ended up with their ties around their heads. I say boys, we're all in our early 30s now. But
but that night you were boys.
We were boys once again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good fun, though.
And you only had to stagger upstairs to the bedroom.
Yeah, I know. It was a free bar as well. It was that kind of wedding.
Fatal. Fatal.
Yeah. Felt all right in the morning, though, because you have to get up for... They make breakfast so early, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, it was 8 till 10, which isn't too bad,
really. But they need to get you out so they can clean the room. That's the deal.
That was a good do. Really good do. And then back to it now. But what about the news, Sean?
Well, we're into relationships this week, so I've got a particular... article that the details will be up on the site by Vanessa Barford, and it's about relationships that last longer than marriage. I mean, we're in a situation where marriages at the moment, the ones that split, which has dropped, it used to be about 50% would be the divorce rate, and they would last about 6 years, but we're up to 11 years and the divorce rate is dropping. And there may be lots of reasons for that we'll come back to. But this article is about relationships that last longer than marriage. So she's looking at things like people will stay with their dentist or their hairdresser or their bank longer than they would stay married.
Okay.
So you might actually know your hairdresser longer than you know your partner.
Well, Yeah, maybe if you saw your hairdresser or your dentist every day and you shared a bed with them.
Yeah, this, yeah.
Maybe that would be different.
Yeah, you might be bald as well.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I've seen an article about anxiety. It's by a lady called Rachel Cook for The Guardian. Living with anxiety, Britain's silent epidemic. And it keeps cropping up, anxiety, and I know it's basically, it's related to all the work that you do.
Yeah.
In one form or another.
Yeah. At least 60% of people that seek help, any kind of help from a GP, are suffering from some kind of anxiety disorder.
Yeah. Well, this article's got some really good kind of case studies of the different levels in which it can affect a person.
Yeah.
For different ages and for different reasons.
Yeah.
And some good links to, there's a charity called Anxiety UK, which I've become aware of, which looks like they do some good work.
Yeah.
But also mentions some different types of therapy that you can get, like it mentions CBT.
Yeah.
Cognitive behavioural therapy, right?
Yeah. And the CBT, from my point of view, is being superseded these days by what's known as MBCT, which is mindfully based cognitive
it's that
therapy.
That word again, eh? Mindful.
Yeah. And that's becoming more mainstream psychology. It will do over the next few years, as you'll see it. The word mindful will come up more and more.
All right, so yeah, we'll put links up to both those stories in the show notes on the website, livingthepresent.co.uk. So without further ado, let's go on to our topic of the week, Sean, relationships.
I guess the beginning point is about when you're looking at what is a relationship, and we're going to say they're a kind of social, working, family, you know, intimate, whatever. To me, a relationship happens when you connect energetically to another person. So I see it as a piece of elastic. That you've got this elastic connection, which is an energy between you, and that may be a working relationship, and some of those relationships are good and positive, some will be negative, but very often the energy in a relationship requires that there's something that is exchanged between you. So that if you're in a football team and you've got relationships with the other guys on the pitch, it's about working as one body individual, so that if you kick the ball somewhere, you know that your guy's going to be there to get it. You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, he's going to pass the ball to you at the right time in the right way. And that is as much a relationship as anything else. When we talk about relationships, we tend to be talking about intimacy, which I suppose is where we're going to go with this.
Yep.
Really. Because that idea about how do you keep your relationship on track. So my beginning point with that kind of relationship is the word love, because you have to know that you're actually on the same track in the first place. Because I work with so many people who, further down the line, I like this idea of tracks and trains, further down the train line, they've suddenly realised that they actually haven't been on the same track at all. And maybe at that point they've got kids and mortgage and all kinds of things, and they're suddenly realising that the things that they want and the things that they need from each other are not realistic. They're not going to get it. So they haven't got a track to keep on.
Yeah, well, for those of us in the world that are married, we take our vows, don't we, when we get married? And it's kind of quite a rigid, set-out thing. And I thought about them before I said them. And I think you can actually tailor them
now quite easily
if you want to. You want to take the time. But maybe that should be enforced a bit more. Maybe you should tailor your vows a bit.
But when I'm working with couples, whether they're married or not, if they're trying to rebuild something after a crisis of some sort, very often we will do a contract, and the contract is the vows. The contract has clauses.
Mm.
And it's what I expect from you, what I need from you. And both people will sign the contract and keep the contract. And I even have couples who, because they feel there's a complacency in their relationship over time, what they do is they have an annual contract, and they have an agreement that they will sit down on the same day each year, maybe go for a meal or somewhere, and discuss what's gone on in the last year and decide whether they're going to carry on. and it's the way that they keep each other kind of awake and on their toes, rather than people just drifting off into this idea, well, it's just there, isn't it? You don't have to worry about it or put anything into it. It just happens.
That's cool. Yeah. There's a funny thing. I'm a big fan of Seinfeld. You know, his dad, I know it's George's dad, he doesn't celebrate Christmas. He makes up his own his own kind of ritualistic ceremony. It's called Festivus. And what part of Festivus is the airing of grievances. And it's a time for the family to get around the table and discuss all the ways that everyone is disappointed him throughout the year. So maybe he was on to something.
So could they say things to him, though?
I think so, yeah.
I had this thing with the kids where on a Friday, Friday tea time was the time where anybody was allowed to say anything. So we'd sit down together.
Yeah.
And if anybody needed to share something or say something, they were like, no holds barred. And it was this like a forum where you could deal with stuff.
Yeah.
And that was quite good. I mean, some of the things as a parent, when your kid tells you, you know, I really don't like you doing this, or I don't know, that can be a bit tough sometimes. But it was good, good space.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't stop laughing about Festivus now. What else did he have? Yeah, he didn't like, you found tinsel distracting. You didn't have a Christmas tree, you just had an aluminium pole.
Yeah,
I've been trying to get Seinfeld into this podcast for weeks and made it delighted.
You got him, you got him there. It's good.
Yeah, but this is about communication. This is basics for relationships, huh?
Yeah, let's start off with love, because most relationships, in the sense we're talking about, start off with someone saying, I love you, the other one says, I love you too. They skip off into the sunset. Then they find out later they didn't mean the same thing by the word love. So anybody that's listening to this, you need to go to your partner sometime today and say to them, when you said you loved me, what did you mean when you said that?
Yeah.
Check out that you're both on the same track, you know, singing off the same sheet kind of stuff, because that's really, really important.
I think we might have mentioned that on a podcast before, Bethan now, whenever I do say I love you,
she said, what do you mean?
She said, what do you mean? I'm like,
But maybe that's real, isn't it? You know, today I love you because you just made the most amazing cream buns, or, you know, whatever. And maybe being more specific about what is it that I'm actually feeling when I say I love you.
Mm.
Am I saying I love you because I really enjoy being with you? I love you because of something you've just done? Or I love you because of the way you look? Or what is it that I'm saying in that? You know, I love you because there's some kind of ethereal feeling within me that I can't define in that way. But yeah.
Yeah. She said, I love you last week, and I think she meant, I love you because you upgraded my phone to iOS 7.
She didn't love you because you were dancing with your tie on your head.
Well, no, I think Bethan actually started the whole tie on head thing. One of my pals, she went to him and got this tie off and put it on his head. And that started off, so it was all Bethan's fault, that.
Yeah.
Just going back, how much does a person's relationship with their relationships stem from their parents, maybe? And
lots and lots and lots.
Okay.
Yeah, and that it's the learned response, isn't it? When you look at your familial relationship that you were brought up in, and you're starting to get what in psycho-speak we talk about internal working models of what a mother is, what a father is, what a lover is, you know, what a male is, what a woman is, that kind of stuff, that you're starting to play out those internal models. And usually when you look at people, they either accept and replay what their parents did, or they reject it and do something very different, very often the opposite. But it's usually not a lot in between. But
so you're kind of helpless to avoid that, or is it?
Well, I don't know. I had problems with my father, God bless him. and I, throughout my life, when I've heard myself saying something that my father would have said, or sounding like my father, is when I want to cut my tongue out and throw it away, kind of feeling. But that idea that those things are ingrained, and if we don't question them, and we don't examine, you know, why am I saying this? Why am I feeling this? Well, then it is same old, same old. It's passed the parcel from generation to generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you unpack the parcel and decide what's in it and maybe repack something that you want rather than
what you got. Folk listening to this should just pause for just a second and have a think about, you know, what characteristics they take on from their parents relationship wise and just examine whether they're positive or negative.
Yeah.
Or...
And essentially, do they work? Do they serve you well? Or do you want them? You know, because maybe you don't. I wouldn't have seen my own parents' relationship as a successful relationship, and I wouldn't want to repeat that. So it's essentially something has to be different. It has to be a different ingredient in the soup for it to taste different. Do you see your relationship as reflective? I mean, your relationship with B, is it reflective of the way you were brought up?
Probably, yeah. Just thinking about it just while you were talking, quite similar, really.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean...
And that's a good positive...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my folks and Bethan's parents, you know.
Yeah.
Really solid relationships. And I'm starting to turn into my dad, slowly but surely, which isn't such a bad thing. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, but that's it. We can turn into our parents, either on default setting, you know, just do it, or it's that issue about, is that what I want? Is that what I want to be?
Hmm. But you didn't want to turn into your dad.
No, no. If someone said to me, oh, you're just like your father, that would be like the worst insult someone could possibly give me, you know. Don't you? Yeah, red lights flash at that point. So if we're looking at, I mean, for me, it's working with couples. We've got kind, constant and honest communication. So that idea about, are you sharing, are you open? And that's going to come down to all kinds of things. It's like, does it feel safe to be open?
Yeah.
You know, are you vulnerable? So it isn't just a case about, I need to be open, I need to feel safe to be open. So that there's a responsibility on both people here to create something that is a safe environment in which we can be free and be ourselves.
Yeah, you mean to make time for that, because in the hustle and bustle of life, it can things can get ahead of you a bit.
Especially when you get kids involved. Sure. You know, yeah, it does get busy. You know, you've got Will. If you bring in a Wilhelmina, so you've got another one, you know, the pressure comes on then.
Yeah.
You know, and then it does get difficult. And I think about families where they, you know, a couple of generations ago, where people were having like 8, 10, 12 kids, you know.
Yeah, crazy.
How on earth do you cope with that? The second one here is the willingness to work through difficulties and disagreements. And that's something we were talking about earlier on, isn't it? Is that when you've had what I'd like to think of as an energetic communication with your partner, you know, do you go to bed on the basis of you're both hanging on to either side of the mattress and there's this no man's land in the middle that you must not cross? This is my side. You know, or do you resolve things before you go to bed?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a big one. And I'd like to say, yes, I always do that, but there's times when I haven't.
Yeah, no, that's a big one for me. Yeah. Never go to bed unless you've kind of settled the score, settled the argument, really, or just, you know, apologised, basically.
Yeah.
I've forgiven. And it was one of my father-in-law made very clear to us, because when we got married, he married us, as you know. And he did kind of a few sessions with us, as he does with all the couples that he marries, on marriage and relationships. Which is really interesting, actually. Never go to bed on an argument, really.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get the rumination. Once you get the rumination, what you feed grows and what you starve dies. So you're feeding the negativity.
Yeah.
And that's not good. Not good. And sometimes things start off as make-believe, don't they? It's that I want to stop the argument, so I'll go and apologise. And maybe I'm not actually feeling that apology at a heart level. Maybe I'm saying it at a cognitive level, intellectually, but as I work with it, it can become a feeling. You know, we start off with make-believe and we develop something as we begin to understand more.
Yeah.
Because one of the things has to be in most arguments is when one person can say to the other, do you realise that when you did that or said that, whatever, you made me feel like this? Is that what you wanted? Yeah, because that's the bottom line of a miscommunication, is that in doing something, I've in some way damaged the other person.
Yeah.
And did I intend that? Did I want that? You know, is my point of view so important that I need to hang on to it so much that the fact that it's hurting the other person desperately is something that I have to overlook? Or do I take their feelings into account? It's that kind of stuff, really.
Mm.
You know, and that's being compassionate. The next one on the list here is about sense of humour and fun.
Yeah.
Now, the amount of women who have said to me, you know, they may start off in life looking for this kind of hunk person that they want. And when they actually get into relationships and they begin to understand themselves in relationships, they'll say things like, I don't care if he's a one-eyed humpback toad, as long as he's funny, he makes me laugh and makes me feel good.
Yeah. Yeah?
And that feeling level is the thing that really comes out later in relationships rather than the way someone looks.
Definitely.
Yeah, how do they feel? Can we have fun together? Can we be friends?
Does that include dancing around a big room with a tiny?
Yeah, right. And and being able to be free. You know, there's nothing worse than if you feel that your partner is a total embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere you go, you're thinking, oh, my God, you know, he, she's off again. You know, don't have too much to drink, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's a terrible place to be for both people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the idea that, can you be free? Can you be spontaneous? Can you play? Yeah, that's really, really important. Lots of fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Next one on the list is about sharing life lessons. And I think this can be quite a tough one because all of us, we're not together 24 hours a day. We're out doing stuff, and we learn things about ourselves and other people as we go along in life. Mm-hmm. And do we come back and say to our partner, you know what, I had this amazing life lesson today? You know, how many people would actually share that or would have the time to share that? And yet we are all changing and developing.
You've got a story about this, haven't you? Or probably a few.
My main thing was I used to run a course, and I still do, but I do it when it's appropriate to run it. And it lasts for a year. And people would come on the course, and it would be one night a week for 3 hours, 50 weeks. And the amount of self-discovery, development and change that would go on would be huge. And what would happen is they would go back and they wouldn't be able to share with their partner what had happened to them. And yet over the period of that year, they would change so much that often the relationship would become invalid. And I got, in the end, I was known in Devon as that bastard who splits people up, is what I was known as by some people, to the point where I actually put a warning on the leaflets for the course, you know, that if you are in a relationship, you need to take this in consideration.
Did you encourage couples to come on the course, if possible?
Yeah, well, in the end, what I did was I'd say, because people would pay to come on the course, I used to do couples for the price of one, so two for one, so that there were no kind of inhibitions about coming on.
Yeah.
But it was important, because if you have an experience in life that changes you and you're not able to share that with your partner, you may have just moved one step apart. And, like, how many steps does it take before you lose the meaning in the relationship?
I mean, you do get relationships where people are like chalk and cheese, completely different, and they still work.
Yep.
And sometimes you get ones where people are exactly the same and they work.
Well, one of the things that always surprises me, because I don't understand this for me at an emotional level. I can see it working in other people. But when you're in a couple and people go away on holidays on their own, or they go off and do all this stuff on their own, and in the end, I look at it and I think, why are these people having a relationship? What's this about? And when someone can go off for, you know, 3 months, 6 months, whatever, maybe they're a captain of a ship or something, or people are in the army, and it's so difficult to maintain a relationship like that. Mm. And yet, yes, there are couples that thrive on that. For lots of those people, the pressure comes when they retire. You know, suddenly they're together all the time.
Yeah.
And they have no sort of learned knowledge of being together like that. Where are we up to?
Five.
Emotional support, validation and compliments. You know, do we share with each other things that we like or love about each other? We've been doing this thing on the site, haven't we, about
The kindness challenge.
Yeah, the kindness stuff. Yeah, and a part of that, there was the idea that you could share with your loved one or loved ones around you things that you really appreciate about them. And Reese, I'm here, really lovely email saying, you know, what I love about you is kind of stuff. And that was really, really nice. So I did the same thing and sent one back. But that was a really nice validation.
That's cool.
Of something, you know. And it made me think, I don't do that enough. I need to. And it's that thing about, you know, the reason I love you is. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's good, that. Yeah, Reese's been doing it on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Every day. Yeah. I think we're up to day 15.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking at the end, I think, is it 21 days it's going to run for? I'm thinking at the end I'm going to compile it all into a little PDF and whack it in the resources.
That'd be good. But that idea about if every day I'm thinking something positive, then that's going to enhance my own life. I'm going to feel better. But if I'm thinking about something positive about my relationship, I'm going to enhance that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't say it enough. In terms of emotional development in any of us, what you feed will grow and what you starve will die.
Yeah.
If you don't feed your relationship, it will wither. Mm-hmm. It will die, whatever it takes. Yeah. And I suppose that's this next one too. Mm. Number six is love, intimacy, romance and sex. Now, I mean, romance and sex may not actually be connected for some people. And it's amazing when you're working with couples, and one of the issues that I think when people are negotiating should be about an agreement as to how many times people have sex. Sex isn't always an expression of romance and intimacy. And I was telling you earlier on that I worked with one lady a few years ago who'd been married for 15 years, and her experience of sexuality was that she'd been raped twice a day for 15 years. That's what it felt like for her. So that the sex has to be something which is consensual, and it has to be something which both people want at whatever rate it comes at, whether that's 3 times a day, 3 times a month, or 3 times a year.
Mm.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. And that's a big area. And it needs to be separated from the idea of the intimacy and the romance, because you can be loving and intimate and romantic without actually having sex.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, which is really, really important. Next one, number 7, sharing goals and dreams that resonate with both of you. And I guess that's where we started the conversation, is you have to be on the right track. You have to be going in the same direction, and you want to get to the same place, yeah, or similar kind of places.
Yeah.
You know? And that idea, when you look across the table at your partner, can you imagine them old and grey and wrinkled in front of the fire, and you're still looking at them across the fire? You know, is that okay? Is that a good thing to be? Because that's where you're going, isn't it? We assume that we're going to live into a ripe old age, we hope, with our partner. Yeah. And we have to be in the same place when we're doing it. And the next one, number 8, is something that really resonates with the work that we do at Live in the Present. And comes down to, when you're looking at the Live in the Present book, it comes down to those first steps, which are the first 3 steps, which are about how do you let go of stuff. And in a relationship, it's vital that you get into forgiveness. You have to be able to forgive the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that are unforgivable for people, and not least of all infidelities. And very often that's where relationships do hit the rocks and break down. But that idea about, yeah, can we accept someone for who they are and also forgive them for things that they get wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone puts the knife and fork round the wrong way, are we going to shout and scream at them, or is that okay? Yeah, that kind of, yeah. And I like this next one, number 9, which is a mutual desire to step outside the box. And that idea of having fun, but having new experience,
yeah,
doing something new.
Life is for learning thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess that in your situation with Will, that must be quite heightened at the moment, because you can be seeing the world through his,
yeah, totally,
his eyes.
Yeah, no, with a kid, it's just amazing. Yeah, he starts to hear everything again.
I can remember taking my eldest, Danny, to the zoo the first time, and he'd never seen any animals before. And he looked at a giraffe. It's only tiny. He looked at a giraffe. And he literally started at the feet and went up the body, the legs, you know, the body and the neck. And his mouth just opened and his eyes just opened with the wonder of seeing this great big thing, this giraffe. And I was thinking, I was seeing the giraffe through his eyes.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I think as a parent, it gives us another chance at seeing the world again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like sort of reviewing and re-evaluating what we're seeing.
Yeah, and as couples, yeah, as you're never too old to learn, are you? So you've got to keep going out and trying new things and looking at new things.
Yeah, start line dancing.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. But yeah, I guess that's a real thing, isn't it? If you're listening to this, is when did you last do something that was fun with your partner? When did you last go and try something new with your partner?
Mm.
And what are there things that you do need to do, would like to do? You know,
yep.
Rather than, you know, life's difficult, you come in, maybe you pop a cork, have a glass of wine, sit down, watch the telly, go to bed, get up and do it again.
Mm.
Yeah, actually experiencing the joy of the moment. What would really, really turn you on, would excite you.
Yeah.
And I get that a lot with clients when they get in a kind of a rut in life. And if you take them back to early on and you say, okay, when you were young and you were looking up towards being an adult, maybe, what kinds of things did you fancy doing? Did you see yourself doing? And very often people wanted to, you know, play an instrument or paint or climb a mountain or do something.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's important to make sure that we fulfill that. But it's a bit like having a bucket list of things that we need to do before we die.
Yeah.
But maybe as a couple, we need a bucket list of things that we'd like to do together. I mean, I've got this mad thing where I want to walk the Camino. The 31-day walk of St. James. I couldn't tell you exactly why I want to do it, but emotionally I have a need to do it.
Is that the one in northern Spain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, where there was the train crash recently. Yeah. But that's where it ends up. Though. But it's the kind of thing that Ree might come on it, but I mean, if I talk about it, she looks at me like I'm a bit unhinged.
Mm.
And I can imagine her maybe being at hotels along the way, so I could be walking from one hotel to the next kind of thing. Yeah, but they're kinds of things that for me would be meaningful, but for her maybe wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, all couples are like that, aren't they? What is it?
Yeah, totally. It's the same with me and my relationship with that big mountain in France, Mont Blanc.
Yeah. Do you think you will get to the top?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do, but I don't know. Someone sent me a text last week. Someone they knew died there on last Saturday.
Oh, wow.
A guy there about my age died, in the region.
Was that like an avalanche or something?
No, he slipped and fell. Mm. And to be honest, I read the story. He'd gone up with a few pals. They didn't hire a guide. They weren't roped in together.
Yeah, well.
It's like, what do you expect? That's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's sad, but,
yeah. You
know, I'd never do that. Never take that kind of risk.
We need to do a cast one week on this idea of those things. That, I mean, you're talking. I can see the look in your eye when you're talking about the mountain. And there's a bit of me that doesn't get it. You know what I mean? And it's those things that are different, aren't they? I mean, I can imagine enjoying the view, but the drive to get to the top of the mountain, I don't have that.
Yeah, well, I'd like to take. I mean, not something that Bethan would want to do, and I don't think I'd want her to do it because it's quite dangerous. But.
Don't say that on
cut that out. But I'd like to at least take the Chamonix into the Alps to show her and let her experience the view and to see.
Yeah.
You know, I can say, I walked up that bit there, I was over there. And,
yeah. The views around there are just amazing.
It's just beautiful. Incredible, isn't it?
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, last one here. Yeah. I love this one. Being able to admit mistakes and then talk about them.
Ah, yeah.
And I think that's a tough one. That's a tough one, especially when you believe that you're right. And working with couples, and I mean, I own the same kind of issues myself, but I mean, working with couples where people are entrenched in their belief of rightness and they don't maybe want to or are unable to or don't feel able to for some reason to actually admit that they were wrong. But we all get things wrong. Yeah,
we all have our own ways of living and doing things.
Yeah,
you know? So just take a bit of flexibility and a bit.
Yeah,
you know, just gotta let a few things go every now and again.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that the other thing we talk a lot about men and women and men are from Mars and women are from Venus kind of stuff, but I think that the issues about male minds and brains tend to work differently from women's is real, and when women want to turn men into women by changing the way that they think, they don't always get what they want. And classically the men will stand in the pub and go, well, you can't understand a woman, can you? they're all bonkers or whatever.
I've no idea what you're talking about. Right, well, we're getting towards the end of our allotted time here, Sean.
Good.
I mean, just finally, I wanted to say, sometimes you've got to cut it loose and say goodbye, haven't you?
I think that that's usually when people realise that they were never on the same track, or they realise that the tracks have diverged so much. They've hit a set of points and gone off in different directions. And that can be quite tough to accept and agree, especially if one person desperately wants the other person to stay on their track and the other person's trying to get away from it.
Well, we don't want to get known as the podcast that splits people up. But and having worked through all the points we just mentioned, if people realise that, you know, that's it's, you know, it's beyond salvage.
It does need to be done. But I think one of the keys, as we're coming to the end of this, is this idea about, you know, do you make time to sit down and talk?
Mm-hmm.
And that idea of the family that eats together stays together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the family that talks to each other stays together, because that's what you do when you eat. Yeah. So take the eating out and do the communication.
TV off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things has to be, do you go to bed with your iPad, or do you leave your iPad, telephone, or that kind of stuff downstairs, so that when you're actually in bed, you're in bed, rather than you're doing a million other things with sort of multimedia.
Yeah. Guilty. Stuff. Guilty of that. We haven't got a TV in the bedroom. I've managed to resist that.
Yeah. So you just watch TV on the iPad.
Watch TV on the iPad.
Yeah.
That's another good little, it's a small little tip, isn't it?
It's
a big one, that.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. I think we'll have to leave it there, Sean, for now.
That's cool. It's good.
Because one of the bits of feedback is that people want it to be longer, this podcast, but we've got work to do.
Yeah.
We've got work to do, right?
We have.
We're busy guys.
Yeah.
But have you got a resource of the week for us?
Yeah.
Before we go?
Yeah, what I want to do is I want to talk about one book, really. I mean, there's several books that we use when we're doing stuff. So I'm leaning over and getting the book here. Yeah, this book was actually written in 1988, and it's been updated and stuff since. But it's a really good book because you can get it as a book. But you can also get it as like a work manual that you can work through, which is good for couples to work through.
You can tell us what it is.
It's called It's called Getting the Love That You Want by a guy called Harville Hendricks.
Yeah,
And it's a good book.
That's
good,
good Harville Hendricks. Yeah, I like that name.
Dr. Harville Hendricks, and it's written by him and his wife, who's called Helen LaKelly Hunt.
Oof, lots of H's going on.
Yeah, yeah, but okay. A good book, and the workbook is great because you can work through your relationship.
With great,
it. Yeah, it's cool. What about you?
I've got an app this week which I downloaded last week called Lumosity, and it's for improving your brain performance.
Yeah.
So if anyone remembers, maybe 5-10 years ago, for the Nintendo DS.
Yeah, I've got one though by the side of the bed.
The brain training doctor something brain training.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, but you can get it for the iPhone, and there's a website where you can do the same exercises, and it has little games, little mental games, and it's just some. There we go. That's the one.
I got it.
You got it. It's fantastic. The design is beautiful, which always helps.
Yeah.
But there's some pretty. I've only just got started really on my training, but it's quite interesting. And the stats that they give on kind of how much it can improve your brain performance are quite staggering, really. So have a go at it.
Does it give you a brain age? Because Dr. Watts, it's on the.
It did, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it gave you a brain age.
Yeah, I think I got mine then back down to like 22 or something. That was brilliant. I don't know it will be now. I don't think it does.
It's when you're 22 and it tells you your brain age is 45.
Yeah. But you can upgrade and pay a monthly membership for it and start to track your progress and stuff.
Right.
So whether you think that's valuable or not, it doesn't matter. But the free version, at least, is pretty cool.
There's an amount of research into if you keep your brain active and things like Alzheimer's and stuff like that. And it's a bit controversial. But we assume that by doing exercises that keep your brain thinking, keep it working, you're going to be able to stay brighter for longer. So lots of benefits.
Give it a go, but it's a really cool app.
I got it.
There we go. Gorgeous looking thing.
Yeah.
And send us your feedback, and let us know how it goes. And I'll talk more about it in maybe a couple of weeks and let you know how I've got on.
Yeah.
My progress.
I'll have a go too.
Have a go.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, good one.
Are we all done? I think
Yeah, I'm good.
For all the links and what have you and show notes, visit our website, livingthepresent.co.uk, and you can dive into everything that we've talked about. You can follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, all that stuff. Again, all the links on the website. You can leave us a review on iTunes. That would be magnifique. We'll be sure to mention you in the following week's show. And next week, we're going to be talking about The Secret. And
right,
The Trouble with The Secret, we're going to dive into the Law of Attraction.
Yeah.
Because it works, but not quite as easily as perhaps The Secret would say. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, it's good stuff, but you have to be realistic in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And there are a load of alternative. I mean, The Secret is the one that hits the button for everybody, but I'll show up a list of alternatives to The Secret, because there are many out there.
I hope our book is one of them as well.
It is indeed. In fact, it's number one on the list.
What do you know? Right. Sean, thanks for your time this week.
Thank you, Ed.
You great. Take care.
Yeah, and you.
And we'll see you all next week again.
Yeah. Okay, bye now.
Bye.